The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Today is a special day of the church. Today is All Saints Day. And it's a special day because we remember all the saints, not only just the ones who have passed, but the ones who are here. But we especially remember the ones who taught us the faith and showed us and gave us the faith that we get to enjoy and hear the words of Jesus. So welcome to that. I don't have anything before service to tell you. No? Okay. Well, let's begin with the singing of our first hymn on page 1.
Let us make a joyful noise to our Lord. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We continue with our psalm from Psalm 149. We speak responsibly. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song.
His praise is in the assembly of God.
Let Israel be glad in his Maker.
Let the shores of Zion rejoice in their hearing.
Let them praise his name with dancing,
making melody to him with tambourine and lyre.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adorns the humble with salvation.
Let the godly exult in glory.
Let them sing for joy and praise.
Let the high praises of God be in their throats.
And two-edged swords in their hands.
To execute vengeance on the nations.
And punish them on the peoples.
To bind their kings with chains.
And their nobles with fetters of iron.
To execute on them the judgment written.
This is honor for all his God's ones. Praise the Lord.
Please be seated. We continue with a reading from Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither their thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our reading, second one, is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the reading of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. As you're able, please stand. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is greater in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, O Lord,
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
We confess together the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe
in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten of not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for remission. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for a hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
So for a couple of years, my family would get together for a little family reunion. And we only did that a few times before the gathering stopped. I was really young at the time, but I remember when I was 11, and it was approaching that time when our family, our huge family reunion would come up, I asked my dad, was the family reunion happening? And then he said, well, we're not having it this year. And I asked, well, why not? And it's like, well, no one planned on it, and people got busy, and so moved on, maybe for next year. And I don't know why, but I remember the next year kind of rolled around, and somehow I was interested in this. And I asked the same question, and again, my dad said it wasn't going to happen. But I asked, well, why not, you know? And he's like, people got busy. No one wanted to plan it. You know, things get in the way. Just had other things going on. But I was a little unsatisfied with that answer. So I asked him, but really, why not? And his response was, well, that's just what we do. We do things for a while and then move on to something else. That's just what our family does. Now, I'm sure my family's not alone in this. It's not just the Barry family who moves on from family reunions or other things, you know, and replace it with something else, or get a little lazy. However, that stuck with me because, well, I thought it was an important thing we were doing, to get together, and it just stopped. And I can't help but feel that the response, it's just what we do, left me unsatisfied. The family just does that because it's the way we are? Is that what families are supposed to be, or is that what we should be doing? To move on from something that is good? And to be sure, I'm not talking about my family, but they are wonderful people, of course. And the many things our family does continue to do to bring us together and form our relationships. It's not just a reunion we need to do that, of course. But I bring it up because it made me think about today and the people we think about, the family we remember. What does it mean for a specific group or people like a family to be together? My family shares more than just the name, as you might expect. We have a lot of commonalities between us. And sometimes people make their family name into a creed of some sort, saying something like, we do this because we're the Andersons, and that's what Andersons do. We as a church, or a family that gathers around Christ's word, his commands and his promises revealed to us, manifesting in places such as baptism and the Lord's Supper when we receive it. With Christ as our head, we make up the body of Christ, a community and group gathered together, a family. And just as our author from 1 John writes, we are called children of God. And to me, All Saints Day is very much like a family reunion. A family reunion because we are gathered as God's children to remember the life in Christ of many of our loved ones who passed away. It's not our typical reunion, of course, because our loved ones are no longer with us. But it's a reunion because we recognize and remember that the unity of Jesus Christ brings us together, and we all share in that reality. And as Paul says, not anything in all creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here again, we recognize the union and reunion of the saints in Christ's church. Though I do sometimes wonder if we misplace the importance of our own family reunions. The response I received concerning my own family and what we do ran through my head as I thought about today. The way my family described who we are sounds to me to be inadequate. It seems to me that people who no longer see the value in reunions take for granted and forget certain ways of being a family. It's not just my family, of course, you know, because I know many people don't actually do family reunions that way, and many traditions and practices have popped up because of of the way families choose to be productive and good with one another. It's not that. I wouldn't say it's a requirement, but my point, though, is that something takes the place of that reunion. Obviously, something else. You just don't stop doing reunions. Something else takes its place. A new influence comes in to fill in a space that perhaps was taken for granted. Many times it's because families do not oppose, nor do they teach family members the importance of certain practices and certain realities of who we are. Does that happen in the church? What about a place like St. Timothy? Are you as church just the way you are? And when you say that, do you say that with confidence and pride? Or does it sometimes come out as defeated and maybe resigned? Have you conceded to ways opposed to the union and reunion of the family and allowed other ideas and practices, concerns, and distractions to infiltrate and define who you are? There is a good way to know who people are, though. Like me, you all have gotten to know me a bit. And I bet if you all met my dad, you would say we probably are very similar people. I resemble him in many ways, of course, but you'd also notice that I act like him, too. Sometimes my close friends and close family friends will point it out because our laugh or our mannerisms, our responses to situations, we just have this similar tinge. And in a way, I'm a little version of my dad. Well, a younger version, at least. Genetically, it is obvious why I resemble him. But everything else, like my mannerisms and the things that matter, like my character, don't come to me because I inherited his genes. And to be honest, I don't think I undertook some of his characteristics because my dad sat me down and taught me to do things a certain way. Though there were times for discipline and sit-downs. But in reality, I learned most of his ways by just observing him, watching and just following him around because I had to, being raised by him. Now think about yourselves and your own upbringing and your own families. Think about your part and membership within the family of the church. Who you are relates so much to how you are raised and grown in the church, and so much of it was not even because you're aware of it, but it was just your reality. To be frank, if I was supposed to be a better contributor to society, to be a real helper in the world, more outstanding individual, my dad was not the best dad in the world, no matter what all the mugs he has say. Really, I could have had a better upbringing. While I believe he's more than qualified, don't get me wrong, there are even more qualified parents, you know. There are better experts in parenting. There are better protectors. There are better people that could bring me to a successful state. My family, if they wanted to, they could have just sent me somewhere else to have a better quality of life and a more better goal. Because my family, to be honest, is not the best candidate to make those results happen. Yet there's one truth that supersedes all the better alternatives for my upbringing. My father raised me because I was his child. He helped me see who I was as his son because it's who I am. The point I'm trying to get at is that your family was probably not focused on making you into a morally upright and successful individual. To be sure, that mattered a lot to them, and they probably took great care and great pains to make sure that happens. But if you dig deeper, you'll find that the most important thing in your family relationships is that you are part of the family. The church is not about making helpers or morally upright people. The church is not in the world to help the world run more smoothly. The church is not another consumer enterprise or attention seeker. It's not here to compete with other communities or instill better values than someone else. Rather, the church is part of a community, a family, redeemed and restored by Jesus Christ. As children of God, they are brought into Christ's body and take part in the body of Christ. Sons and daughters of God who follow Jesus. The church is filled with, well, little Christs who live out God's reality in the world. The church is the children of God revealing to the world who they are. And we call this group of people the family, saints. Saints made holy by God in Jesus Christ, set apart and welcomed into God's family. In Jesus Christ, God is restoring and renewing the entire creation. And God continues to do that restoration through his people, through his family, the church. The world needs the church. The world needs the saints. Because the world is unaware of who they really are. And the church reveals to the world who they really belong to. And it's the message of Jesus Christ being Lord of this world and that his Father is taking care of this creation. Much like I learned a lot about who I was and what to do by following my dad, the church learns who they are by following Christ. You are God's child and no one else's. The children of God learn who they are and what they are to do by following Jesus. And that is precisely what the body of Christ is. The church takes its part in raising children of God. And today, on this reunion of All Saints Day, we remember the saints who have gone before us. It is a family reunion, not a reunion for the sake of the people who have passed, but a reunion for the sake of the church in the world, for you and for me. We remember what our family and friends who have gone before us has given to us. The people that we will list later in our worship is only a short list of the people connected to St. Timothy's family, but we remember them so fondly because they were people we followed. They were people who raised us in the faith. They are part of the family of the church. They showed you the love of God in Christ Jesus by leading, teaching, and raising you in the family. Sometimes without you or maybe even them realizing it. Because the saints only lived out who they are, children of God. They followed Christ and gave to you an example of what it looks like to follow Christ. To be gathered today, reunited as a family, is not about you having a personal preference. It's not because it's one of those things you value to be here. And it's not even because of the things that have attracted you, like the architecture or the people even. Even though in reality, I'm sure some of those things brought you here and those attracted you. But what is truer than that is that you are here because you are children of God, called by the Savior, Jesus the Lord. And we know that in your baptism. You are here because the faith of your family, the faith of the saints, lives in you. I think our baptismal liturgy for the sponsors in the church is a really helpful takeaway that explains this. In our liturgy, in the hymnal we use, there's an explanation for the sponsors and the church, the congregation, and what they're supposed to do. And it says, the church and the sponsors are to pray for the one being baptized, support their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. That's for the sponsors and the congregation. It's not for the parents. If we take these words seriously, then that means the church as a whole is involved in the upbringing of her children, her new members, her adult converts. If the church is going to be the family of Christ, then the church acts like one by helping families, by helping the single parent juggling 100 different things, let alone trying to bring their kids to church. Or maybe that family struggling to make ends meet when the circumstances of life has been a financial strain on them. The church embraces and takes in a son or daughter who is a single person who is far away from home and the family lives in a different state and they need to feel cared for. The church is there for the widow and widower who feels completely alone because someone is missing from the dinner table. The church is the family that supports each other. While following around my dad, I learned a lot about who I am as Steve's son. Following Christ orients the church to who we truly are. This is what the saints of St. Timothy remind us today. You are the church. You are the Christian family. The church is not a sentimental or superficial happy place or another market corner pitching some product to the world. The church deals with its own messy problems, but the church also deals with the truth that God has revealed to us in his Son, that we are children of God. My dad told me that our family just does this or that because it's who we are. Maybe not the most positive things for our family, but you are children of God, and you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The same Jesus rejected by the world and condemned to death. The path is narrow only because it's Christ alone we follow. But just as Christ was raised from the dead, you too will be raised. Following Jesus is what the church does because it's who they are. It is the faith of the saints that taught and raised us in that faith. It's who you are. It's what you do until the day when the dead are raised. And in that day, we will certainly have a true family reunion. In Christ's name, amen. We continue with singing the last four verses of All the Saints on page 8 of your bulletin.
Distant triumphs song, and rise up.
continue on page 9 for the commemoration of the faithful departed saints. Today, we remember with thanksgiving those saints who have gone before us in faith. They were created by God to offer Him praise forever, redeemed by Jesus, God's Son, and filled with the Holy Spirit through baptism, where God gave them new life. They were nourished in God's family through the Lord's Supper and the Word, and in His mercy, God has summoned them to His presence, that they may continue in joyful service to Him forever. We especially remember this day, Beatrice Daspy, Lloyd Surgeon, Geraldine Marie Hayes, George Rudy, Charlie Stewart, Roger Kent Ryan, Ayako Viles. In holy baptism, all saints were clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all their sin. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, "Do you not know that all who of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
For if we have been united with Him in the death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in the resurrection like His."
And St. John reminds us in Revelation chapter 14, "Blessed are they that die in the Lord from now on.
For they will rest from their labors, and their deeds will follow them."
We pray. In joyful expectation for the resurrection of the body to life, we remember before You, O Lord, all those who have gone before us in faith, whom we pause now to name in our hearts. We offer thanksgiving for the gift of faith, and we hold fast to the certainty of Your promises. May the memory of these saints be blessed among us, and may we follow their footsteps of faith to Your eternal presence in the heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
We continue with singing, "Ye Watchers E'en and Ye Holy Ones." Please be seated.
Thank you.
We continue with the prayers of the church and the Kyrie. Mighty and eternal God, we remember before you the saints and martyrs of every generation who trusted in you in the face of terror and threat. Grant that when facing persecution and trial in our own day, we may be steadfast in faith. Deliver those whom you have washed in baptism, granting the new life that death cannot overcome. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Everlasting Father, you established the church and granted her your protection. Continue to pour out upon us your spirit and grace, that we may accomplish your bidding and proclaim your gospel. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Creator, we beg your grace that our lives may be ordered by your commands, and we ask you to bless those who govern us in your name. Bless our president, the Congress, our governor, the legislator, and all local officials, that pursuing the path of justice, they may act with humility and honor for the good of all people. Give wisdom to all who vote this week and bless its result, that our nation may elect our leaders peacefully and orderly. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, we rejoice that you have rescued us from the power of death and raised us in Christ. Give to those who grieve the comfort of the promised resurrection, and give peace to the dying to trust in you. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
God of life and provision, you have made us your children, and you continue to guard us as your own possession. According to your will, give healing to the sick, calm to the troubled in mind, and patience to those facing sorrow and struggle. Give health and peace to our nation. Hear us especially on behalf of Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Flath, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, and Esther. We beseech you, Father, to continue and look after those who are unable to be with us in bodily presence. Assure them of your promises. We especially pray this day for Barbara, Millie, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza and Jim, and Alex. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, shine your light upon us, that we may do what is good and right, and live as faithful people in our nation. Give us the will.
God of Sabaoth and the saints, bring us to that day when every tear shall be wiped from our eyes, and we shall hunger and thirst no more. Knowing you now by faith, we yearn for that day when we shall know you face to face. Until the dawn of that eternal day, keep us in your faith and fear through our good shepherd and Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray until then. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us to follow your blessed saints and all virtuous and godly living, that together with them, we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we shall fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
We sing our last hymn. Please be seated.